Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on January 24th, 2023. And thanks so much for being with us today or perhaps on the archives. We archive everything over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And please go over there. You'll see our, we consider a wonderful magazine. It's called Equity in Access. It's an online journal. You'll see the cover. Just click through and enjoy it. If you want to subscribe, you can do over there. And it's free, by the way. So we'll just send you the link when it comes out. We're working on a new issue right now. All right. So please go over there, check it out, ace-ed.org. You can see all the other stuff we do over there. And, of course, we archive every podcast. Again, ace-ed.org. We have SEL Today, teacher retention, all that sort of stuff that really matters these days. And we're really working hard for equity in education. If you're interested in that, ace-ed.org. Today's show is very interesting. We've got Brent Hartzell here. Brent is the Director of Professional Learning and Director of Solutions, I might add, and Professional Learning over at Learning Ally, our good friends. That's learningally.org. And the title of the show, which is very interesting, is How Brain-Based Literacy and Professional Learning Can Be the Solution to Teacher Effectiveness and Also Teacher Retention. And we're going to try, you know, with all that brain-based literacy, help with the literacy crisis. Kids are happy, kids are learning, teachers are happy, they stay. So we got Brent here, so I'll say good morning to Brent Hartzell. It's Larry Jacobs here. Call me Larry, Brent.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. It's quite a topic, so I'm excited about it.
It's a long topic, and we're going to cover a lot. Where are you today? I see a Michigan area code. Are you in Michigan? Where are you?
Yeah, I live in Michigan, born and raised in Michigan. So excited to join you from Michigan.
Michigander, what part of Michigan? It's a big state.
Yeah, it is a big state. We live in St. Joseph, Michigan, so we're about 45 minutes north of the border. Yeah, yeah, it's a great little little beach community when it's warm.
Funny you should say that. I live in Maine, okay, and we had about 15 inches of snow yesterday, so believe me, I know winter weather, okay, and Michiganders are tough, and so are we Mainers, I guess, all right? So it's great to have you here, Brent.
Thanks for
being here.
Glad to be here.
Oh, great. Okay, and we're going to have a good time here. Teachers are great. We love teachers here. You guys love teachers here, and we're losing them.
We do.
Okay, in numbers. Now, that seems to be decreasing just a little bit, but it's pressure on teachers. And the other challenge is that there aren't a lot of teachers in the pipeline. The education schools are hurting right now, which means it's not so much teacher recruiting as opposed to – when I say teacher recruiting, I'm talking about professionally trained teachers, not warm bodies, okay, that stay for a year and leave. We need real teachers, okay, that are trained to do this, okay? And what's important about this is if we lose a teacher, we have trouble replacing them. So that challenge becomes teacher retention, all right? And
that's right.
As you look at this, and you're calling on schools all the time and all that, what do you see as the reasons for that? And, you know, we've gone over it a lot of times, but just from your point of view, Brent, what do you see? Why are they leaving such numbers these days? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a good question,
thank you.
You know, certainly no expert in teacher retention, but I've spent my career, better part of my career. Whether I know it or not.
I'll tell you, the anecdotal information that you and others like you who see when you call on schools and visit school districts, okay, is extremely important. You have eyes, you have ears, you know what's going on. So I say, I'm like the Wizard of Oz. I hereby declare you an expert. I'll send you a certificate, okay? You're now an expert.
That sounds good.
Okay?
That sounds
go ahead.
Good.
Talk
That's
about
good.
It. What do you see as a challenge out there?
Yeah, go. Absolutely. And I would say, as someone who's been in this for a long time, it's not all that surprising, right? I think I grew up in a household with two passionate educators. They spent hours on their craft, right? But they would talk about the frustrations back then, 30 years ago, that they were facing, that they were dealing with, and then they were the ones that got me into this, and then I experienced it myself as an educator in a classroom, right? And And so we talk about them as being the most critical aspects, and educators being the most critical aspects of our society. But for years we've dealt with a lot of these same challenges. And so I think it's, you know, the easy thing to do right now when we're in the middle of this challenge and this crisis is to point our finger at the things that have taken place over the last few years, right? So we talk about the pandemic, we talk about some of the declining educators, you know, both coming into the profession as well as being and retaining and staying in the profession. But I would also argue that these are probably the sort of the last straw, right? I mean, how long have you been talking about things like pay, about working mm-hmm. conditions, support? These are topics that are not new, right? And so now you compound all of that with some of the challenges that have been faced over the last few years of the pandemic, you know, the fear and anxiety that was created by the virus, the blaming of educators for the difficult learning experiences
right.
throughout,
right.
the academic
right.
challenges that they're now facing due to learning loss. I mean, you know, these are difficult. This is
yeah.
a lot. And so, you know, we're asking educators, you know, to go into this profession. And I think, you know, many of them are simply either questioning whether this is the right path or questioning whether this is the path I even want to get on and go to school to become an educator. So I think we've sort of created this for many years. And now we're kind of at a place where the last few years have just, you know, maybe accelerated some of these challenges. And so, you know, I think we're in a difficult situation right now.
We are, and I'll tell you, Brent, with, you know, I'm a baby boomer, okay? Baby boomers are retiring, okay, or are retired,
yep.
all right? Now you got Gen X following that, okay? Gen X is getting up to retirement age, okay? And
yep.
retirement age in teaching can be 50, okay? That's
yep.
that's you can actually
right.
do it then, okay? The problem is the pipeline. Afterwards, where are we going to get the new teachers, okay? And adding to what you said a minute ago, and, you know, just from what I hear and what I know, the world is changing, okay, and the kids have changed, all right? They really have. It's
yeah.
not the same kid as when we were in school, okay? I'm not saying good or bad, but it's not the same kid, all right? And as a result, the education has to change. All right, the way the pedagogy has to change, what we teach, how we set up a curriculum, and taking care of the teachers has to change, okay? And
That's
I'll
right.
tell you, you know this as well as I do. You know, the NAEP scores came out of, what, a couple of months ago? I can't remember now, okay? And they were pathetic, okay?
Concerning.
I think they came out at the end of last year. They were pathetic, let me make that point, okay? And we have to... When you look at the NAEP scores, all right, you see you can't blame teachers. It's all society. It was the pandemic, the learning loss. Okay, teachers did the best job they could. Superintendents, everybody did the best job they could in an unknowable situation. We didn't know where we were. It took a long time for that to settle in, okay? But the challenge is a teacher, okay, it literally is a teacher. They want kids to learn. All right, and if kids aren't learning, all right, then teachers are not going to be happy, and neither will the kids, although they might suggest otherwise. The kids won't be happy either, all right? And it all has to do with how we approach the profession as an administration, okay, and circular argument, how we teach the kids. And if we teach the kids properly, okay, then we're going to have a lot easier time retaining teachers. They're going to be happier, okay? It's that sort of thing. And I all that said, and you are in charge of professional learning over at Learning Ally, which is a hell of a good company at learningally.org. Go into that. Talk about how important, and you do this for a living, the professional learning is in this changing, crazy environment we're in. That, to me, that is the key. You go ahead. I hope I didn't steal too much
I mean,
of your thunder. You know.
Yeah. No. You did. And you covered a lot of pieces there. And I do. I want to go back to something you said earlier.
Please.
As I'm coming into this is there is this interesting place where educators are right now that it is to solve this literacy crisis isn't just about foundational literacy. It's not just about the literacy skills that the students are need to accomplish and overcome. It's also the social challenges that teachers are faced with. They've got to overcome both of those on a daily basis. These kids are coming to school with a lot. And so how do I, as an educator, overcome those pieces? And so that's a lot of what our work is at Learning Ally. And Learning Ally has a long history of supporting struggling readers through our solutions and through some of the work that we're doing. And now it's in a place where how are we looking at when we bring literacy instruction into the classroom and support educators in creating that opportunity and achievement for their students? You know, how are we looking at that in the entire piece? And I know you've had some other members from Learning Ally here on your show who have spoken about the whole child literacy framework, right? And all of the work that goes into not only those academic factors, those literacy factors, and we emphasize and support the science of reading and brain-based literacy instruction, but also looking at those environmental factors that influence, you know, a student's access to literacy, a student's ability to develop those reading skills, as well as those cognitive variables. And so that work influences the type of support that we create for educators. So as we think about this whole conversation and tying it back to retention, it's not just about this elevation of the educator, but it's also about providing them with the support that they can help their students to be successful and ensuring that every educator has access to this type of professional learning, you know, whether it's through partnership with organizations like Learning Ally or they're doing it themselves, whatever it might be, but that we're making sure that these educators have access to this type of professional learning. And so here at Learning Ally, our emphasis and the work that we're doing with our thought leaders and who we are working with some of the best and the brightest, it's exciting work, is how are we emphasizing and looking at providing access to educators aligned with the science of reading, and more importantly, aligned as we look at it and as we talk about it, brain-based literacy, where we're focused on these developmental factors that influence how a student reads as well in our work. So, you know, it's really exciting. And our ultimate goal at the end of the day is to bring this to all schools, all teachers, all educators have access to this type of work. Because that's the type of support that's going to allow us to overcome those challenges. You know, I talk about this quite a bit with our team here. we may be the experts in science of reading. We may have the experts that we're working with in science of reading. We may be the experts in developing and implementing professional learning. But an educator is the expert in their classroom, the expert of their students, the expert of their resources and materials that they have. And when you bring those two pieces together, right, that's where the magic happens. That's how we're going to start to overcome these hurdles and these challenges is by bringing those two pieces together.
You know, I have to say, you just said when the magic happens. And as far as I'm concerned, and I was a social studies teacher, okay? As far as I'm concerned, teaching someone to read is an absolute miracle, okay? And if you think about it, I mean, I wouldn't know how to
not
do it.
Natural,
I wouldn't know where to
right?
Read. Yeah, it's not natural. These are marks on a piece of paper. Or on the side of a wall, or wherever these marks are, this code, okay, which we call writing, okay, letters. And somehow we teach a kid to form words and make sense of this, if I may, gibberish. Gibberish. It's like when you read, I don't know, maybe you speak Arabic, but if somebody looks at Arabic and doesn't understand it or Russian, it's just gibberish, different alphabet. Yeah. Okay, and of course it isn't to the people who understand. You said where the magic happens, and as far as I'm concerned, it is magic. Okay, but I want to, and I know it isn't, which brings me to my next point. Okay, I have a degree in education. It's a BS, a Bachelor of Science. Okay, I was never taught this. I was in education school many years ago. Okay. So I was never taught any science, okay, about education. The BS, I don't know why they call it BS, okay, all right, but they do, all right? There's other things for BS, but that's beside the point. Okay, so we'll move off of that. I know everybody's laughing out there, okay? But my point is this. They called, my degree says Bachelor of Science. You just said the word, okay, the phrase, science of learning. And then you also said brain-based literacy, which is actually, if I may, neuroscience, okay?
That's right.
We are at a good point, and admittedly, we don't know everything about the brain, but we know enough that we know that learning is scientifically based, okay? Brain-based literacy is neuroscience, science of reading. I want you to do me a favor. we bandy around these terms, I'm going to ask you to help me here. When you say science reading, okay, Brent, define what you mean by that, and then when you say brain-based literacy, give us the definition of that. So that, you know, it's easy to say these phrases, but it's good to have a, you know, you're saying it with something in mind. Go ahead. Science of reading and brain-based literacy. Go ahead. And I will give you, if you can do that, I will give you a doctorate from the University of Larry Schuller, which will arrive this week. Okay.
All right. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So I've already gotten a doctorate on teacher
retention. Dr. Hartzell, how's it sound? Do a good job. Dr. Hartzell, there you go. Go ahead.
That's excellent. Well, you know, and I'll say this out there for those that are doing the research around both of these areas, members of the Learning Ally team, members of universities out there that may be listening. I hope I do your work justice. And
you're going to do great,
but
you know it.
But I will say this. I will say this. The ideas and the topics of science of reading, they're not new, right? We've emphasized these pieces over the course of the last many years, and there's messaging and language that's out there around them, and everybody's got a different opinion on this piece. For us, when we talk about the science of reading, it is simply this understanding and knowledge that there is a process by which we learn to read, and there's different elements of reading that are key and critical to a student's ability to become a fluent reader, right? And so when we look at each of those different elements, how are we ensuring that a teacher is successful in being able to support a student no matter where they are on that process and in that mix to develop that knowledge, right? So as we think about either language comprehension and a student's ability to understand the words that they're reading, or we're talking about word recognition and their ability to decipher and understand, as you said earlier, the things that are written on a page, their ability to read those words and determine those words. That process that a student goes through to develop that fluent, become a fluent reader is when we talk about science of reading. Now, as we talk about brain-based literacy and where we're going and where we're charging in this conversation,
and that's Learning Ally.
That's
Learning Ally loves brain-based literacy. Yeah, go for it.
We do. It's simply this understanding that a student's ability to do that and to go through that process and learn within that process is a brain-based neuroscience process. It's something that it looks different for every student. Every student has different factors and variables that influence that. And how are we supporting that for every student? And so it's simply that understanding and that lens that we look through within the science of reading that is focused on the brain-based elements of how a student does that and how that differs from student to student.
How does Learning Ally take an educator, and educators are trained differently in each state, okay? It's kind of the same, but, you know, it's different in each state.
It's different.
Okay? And so how do you two questions. A, how do you talk to a teacher about that and have them understand this, if I may, neuroscience, brain-based literacy, which is not easy. This is what you guys are experts at. Okay, how do you do that?
Yeah, my response to this is no different than influencing or supporting or driving a behavior or a practice in around any topic or any subject, right? So my expertise and background in professional learning, this is the work that we do. This is the work that I do and my team
does.
Yeah. Right? It is a process, right? And so whenever an individual, an educator, or a human for that matter, is just learning a new skill or a new competency, and maybe one that differs from maybe their current practices or their maybe even their beliefs around certain things, because you know, literacy is a topic where it can be polarizing, right? And we'll kind of stay away from that here. When you're moving in that direction, and when you're supporting an educator in understanding something like that, I think there's probably a few different factors that are key in that process in order for it to stick, in order for it to be effective, right? And so one.
Yeah.
Is proving that it's viable, proving that it's going to actually drive some sort of change. Is the thing that you're talking to me about, or the thing that you're showing me, or the thing that we're working toward, is it proven to actually work and do something, right? So I think that's number one. It's like you got to sell me on this, right? Is this car going to actually get me from point A to point B? Because if it's not, why am I wasting my money on it? They were wasting my time on it or wasting my energy, because we know the limited amount of time that the educators have to do this sort of thing. So prove it to me. So I think that's number one. Number two is, all right, you've shown me that this is something that's important and valuable. Now help me to do this successfully with the group of students that I have in my classroom, right? And this comes to that support piece, right? It's one thing for you to show me what it is. It's another thing for you to help me to be able to accomplish this goal. So that ongoing support is a huge part of our work and the work that is critical to the success. So you know, sit in my shoes, come into my classroom, see what I'm doing, help me to kind of think about how I'm going to take this thing called science of reading and make it work for the 25, 30 students that I have in my classroom today, a group that comes to school every day with different challenges or different needs. Help me to go through that process. And then I think the last piece in this is part of this sort of pendulum swing that we try to overcome in education, right? It's important today, but it's not important tomorrow. Is the whole implementation factor of it, you know, by and large, right? So as we think about the role of a leader in a building, you know, how are they helping to support me as I'm learning this new thing? Or we think about the time, how am I getting time in my day to be able to do this? How are we ensuring that it's, you know, that being implemented or this practice or this strategy or this idea, such as the science of reading or brain-based literacy, is successful? And then finally, like, how is it woven into the fabric of just who we are as an organization, as a school, as a district, as a, you know, as a classroom team, a group of teachers? How is that woven into that culture? Because that is the thing that's going to avoid it not being an important thing next week, and now all of a sudden we're focused on a completely different topic, where last week the science of reading and brain-based literacy was important, and now next year it's something completely different. So it's got to be that implementation part of it is an important factor in ensuring it's part of the culture, it's part of the makeup of the work that we do.
Yeah. You say what you just said. I lost you for a second.
Just the idea that it's made up. It's part of the fabric of the organization. That it's part of as a school or a district culture. That implementation is key to ensuring that it is something that is a practice that sticks with us. You know, for years down the road.
Brett, are you there? My phone disconnected.
I'm here.
For absolutely no reason. Okay, I apologize.
Yep.
Oh, no, okay, hold on. Say what you just said in the last 3 minutes, because that was my fault. Go ahead.
No problem at all. No,
I think everybody else heard you, but I didn't. Okay. Welcome to technology.
No problem.
I don't know what happened? Yeah. Go ahead.
No problem. Just speaking to that last factor, I believe that the other two I was speaking about were heard, but that last factor, which is just the implementation success of those practices, right? So if we have a strategy that we know is research based, and then we have ongoing support, that last element is naturally the implementation, the success of that, and ensuring that it's woven into the fabric of the culture of the school, so that's not this pendulum that you know we forget about the next week or a year.
You just made the best point in the world, I got to tell you, because what you guys do literally has to be woven in. It can't be one and done. Okay, and you know this. What you just said is so important, weaving it into the fabric of the school and making this work. And on that note, what grades work best with what Learning Ally does in terms of helping kids? Where are we grade-wise? First grade, second grade, third grade, that type of thing.
Yeah, I would love to say that the literacy needs are something that is only, a lower grade challenge, but the reality is that's not the case, right? This is a challenge that affects K through 12, your students at across
the grade
levels. And so, you know, we our focus and our emphasis is that whole spectrum, right? K through 12 and pre-K through 12, early literacy. And how are we supporting, no matter where a student is or where an educator is, on that spectrum, where how are we supporting them to be successful? That's a key part of the work that we're doing at Learning Ally. So, you know, whether we're working with the teachers that are in pre-kindergarten or some of our high school teachers who may be working with adolescents to support their literacy development. It's something that we support across the board.
And what I say is that every teacher needs to support literacy development. And I will readily admit that when I was a social studies teacher, that never happened. Okay, I really didn't do anything for that. I just assumed the kids could read. Okay, and if they couldn't read, there was something wrong with the kid. And I didn't do anything. Okay, and me and the math teacher and the social studies and the science teachers, et cetera, we didn't do anything. That needs to change. Okay, and I'm curious, okay, Brent, I was a middle school social studies teacher for years. Okay, yeah. Would Learning Allies work and help me? How would I weave that into social studies? Help me out.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's, you know, we have this conversation quite frequently here at Learning Ally around, you know, adolescent literacy and the development there, and I think the reality is, and I would, you know, I'd be interested in your response to this, is when you're being trained to be a teacher, a social studies teacher, and you sort of said this earlier in the conversation, you didn't receive any professional development on developing comprehension in students, right?
Zero.
And so
zero.
So there's a really exciting opportunity there around how are we supporting students in content area literacy and focusing on those areas of science of reading, which are around language comprehension, so that they're identifying and understanding within this context of social studies or mathematics, or frankly, even within ELA at high school level, because that's really a content area focus, is how are we weaving in some of these strategies within those spaces. So yeah, Learning Ally is an area that can help.
You know, and I hope teachers and principals and superintendents understand that, okay? There are kids, okay, that need this help all through. It's not just the early grades. You guys, by the way, are an expert in early grades, okay? I want to ask you something else, and this has to do with, and I've been on your website, learningally.org, all
sure.
Right? Talk to me. We were very interested here, as you guys are, Learning Ally, in and this matters.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want kids
it does.
Across the board. I don't care if they're in the poorest part of the biggest city in America, okay, or they're out in the country somewhere, like here in Maine where I live, all right, out in the country, all right? Every kid, okay, there's got to be an equitable situation with this. Just talk about the equity side of this if it comes up.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. It does.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of different places and ways that we could untangle this conversation around equity, right? And we talk about, you know, some
you
of our leaders,
you
Dr. Malinowski, yeah. Like, talks about ending book deserts and the challenges around access to literature, you know, in some of those communities, right? So there's these big topics like that that are key to that. And from my point of view, it's really about access to the same types of learning experiences for those educators that any teacher anywhere would have access to, right? So it's that equity of access to that sort of support and learning that oftentimes cannot be made available. And it's you know, it's in rural communities, it's in suburban communities, it's in communities that are in the city, it's communities all over that need the same access to this type of support and
they
this
do.
Type of information. And so when we talk about that and we think about that, a lot of our work is centered around, you know, how are we designing experiences in ways that can make it accessible and can drive away some of those inequities that are present in literacy and in education. And how can we do that from a professional learning organization in providing more attainable services like that?
Yeah, it's just so darn important these days. I mean, it's just and I have to ask you this as we wind down here. All right, you're dealing with schools and school districts all the time. Okay, you saw the NAEP scores. Okay, the NAEP scores represent what was, so to speak. Okay, as you look at everything, Brent, and you look at it from a pretty good perch, okay, what do you see for the future? Okay, where do you see this all going?
Yeah, I what I hope and what we see is when things like this take place, or when you have scores like that come out, it provides an emphasis, right? And all of a sudden, everybody's paying attention and everybody's looking at this. And so I do see this as an opportunity where there is a focus, there is an attention on this, that, you know, that there is opportunity to bring more of this type of work to schools. More funding will come toward this type of work in schools. There's opportunity now that these sort of things, these things create. But I do think going back to the retention conversation, right? Because at the end of the day, we're doing great work at Learning Ally. There's others out there that are doing great work as we are. But at the end of the day, it boils down to that teacher in the classroom, right? That is the number one factor of a student's success, is a strong teacher in the classroom. And so we've got work to do right now as a society, as an organization ourselves, to support that, to elevate that profession, to find solutions to some of those big challenges. We're doing that from our side, from the support that we're providing and the experiences that we're creating and the resources that are being developed at Learning Ally. But it's a bigger conversation than that, right? It's a bigger conversation than just us alone. And it is a partnership. And members of our organization talk about this quite a bit, that it is about relationship and it's about partnership. And so we have to find ways to work together to elevate this profession, bring more teachers into this profession. Once they're in this profession, support them and move them forward. Because, you know, again, that is the number one factor. That is the thing that's going to drive change, is having those skilled teachers working side by side with those students every day.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing. You ask anyone, any politician, I'll say the people who have the money, control the money from states and federal government, and they're all in favor of education. Oh, yeah, they're all supportive. So how do we get into the position we're in right now? Okay, where's that big support when it's really needed? Okay, it's always a fight. All right, and we're going to – we don't want to lose this fight. And I think I've got to tell you, it's companies like yours, okay, Learning Ally, that are making a difference out there, because a lot of the things we need now, okay, to retain teachers and make them more effective were not taught to them in college. All right? Things have changed since they got their degree, okay, and walked across that stage. And it's companies like yours that make the difference and will make the difference. Okay, in the future, Brent. Thank you. I'm sorry I lost you for a few minutes there. Thank God we were able to get back together. Okay.
No, I'm glad we were This is
you're the man.
I appreciate the time. I appreciate it's great to talk with you and appreciate the work you're doing.
And by the way, you mentioned Molly Ness. I have a poem about Molly. Molly Ness is the best. How's that?
Yes, she is. That is great. I'm sure she's listening, and I
hope so.
Not, I will. She's definitely going to be.
She's
smiling about that one. So we appreciate you, Larry. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys too. Have a good Michigander day. Okay. Sorry about the lion.
Let me leave
it at that. Sorry about the lion.
Oh man. We'll leave on that note. I don't know about that.
No, actually they're going to be good next year. They're going to be okay next year. They're moving in the right direction. Okay. I'll leave it at that.
They really are.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Larry.
Brent.
Thanks so much.
You're a good man. Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Grant Hartzell, everybody, from Learning Ally, learningally.org. Great company, good people, and caring people. Okay? You bring them in, you'll see caring. You'll see people that really want to make a difference and will help you along. So, again, it's learningally.org. Thank you, Brent. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs, and thank you for bringing up with me in that little blip there. Everybody, have a great day.